Lo, the co-founder of Figman. Thank you for showing up today.
Thanks for inviting me here. It's great to be here.
So, Yaling, you want to pose the first question?
So, Figman has been around, we just talked about it, 3 years ago, right? And how, well, particularly interested in how you were able to build a brand and bring it to, how, you know, to what it is today in this short 2 years, now that everyone talks about Figman and you're on the radar of almost every media and publications, how did you achieve that, I guess, position? And I'm curious about how you piece the puzzle together.
In other words, she's saying that you busted out from nowhere.
Yeah.
Tell us the secret sauce.
Besides having FP do our branding, if I say so myself, I think we came on scene at a very opportune time. Co-living and Figman, we always talk about, you know, community. But really, we are entering a state of the world where you have skyscrapers everywhere in Singapore. All these years spent coming back to Singapore year after year, looking at more and more high-rises come up. It's something that not just happening in Singapore, it's happening all over the world.
Mm.
If I think about Tokyo, Japan, where you have hikikomori, people who are too afraid of social interaction because at some point in their life they chose to draw back, and they stay up to 10 years at a time back in their rooms, in their homes. It's unfortunate, right? The world is getting more and more isolated, lonely. And so a lot of us today are thinking about community.
Mm.
And so Figman, sure, we've chanced on a great way to share that community with people. But at its heart, I think it's that lack of community out there that draws Figman into where it is today.
Mm.
So we could technically say that you were on a conveyor belt. You graduated from a very good school, you are working in a very good corporate place. What made you sort of leap off the conveyor belt and say, I'm going to do Figman? What was the journey like?
It's not immediately obvious. But I think in Singapore, we have very strong cultural narratives, right? Mm. Go to a good school, graduate, find yourself a professional job as a lawyer, doctor, banker, so on and so forth. And sure, I ticked the boxes. Going to Goldman, working as a banker was my dream at the point in time. But still, it was a dream that was not yet examined closely. And I think that's what happens in societies with very strong cultural narratives. In much the same way today, Figman exists. Yes, initially from a figment of our imaginations, entering the scene, kind of putting out shophouse living as an alternative way of living vis-a-vis culturally strong narratives of HDB BTOs, upgrading to a condo, or living in a GCB at the end of the day. And so it's about challenging that narrative, both as an individual, but also in terms of the lifestyles that we lead. And so I've been very lucky to have had that privilege of questioning, you know, maybe it's easier to do when you're sitting in the office at 11 p.m. at night to then say, oh, what am I doing here? And is this it? Is this what I set out for? And having those moments to question yourself, to gain some degree of self-awareness, to then pivot into something that is more in line with what you want to do. Have you guys had moments like that? Because I know, Arthur, you've been a consultant in New York before, right?
Mm. So I had my moment. My moment, I think I shared in another episode as well, as I was driving down this highway. It was about 11 p.m. at night and was hungry. I veered off. I landed out in McDonald's and I had my meal looking into the through the glass, but because it was at night, lit on the inside, dark on the outside, I could see my own self reflection.
Great company.
I was like, And 6 months later, I left. So, what about for you? Was it? So, I'm really curious about the steps that you took, because there's this decision making point, and there's a point where you walked in. I remember very well, 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
It's been 2 years ago.
Walked through
the door.
Yeah.
I remember you were in your t-shirt and your
shorts.
2 years forward again to today, Figment has literally gone leaps and bounds, you know? So I'm curious about the steps that you took. And I'm sure the audience will be very keen to kind of learn from you. What was the journey? What were the discrete steps that, if you could break it down for us?
I think it's kind of complex because what I could do only would apply to someone with my kind of skill sets. I think I'm very passionate about what it is I'm doing today. And Figment might not have been Figment, you know, boutique co-living in shophouses the way it was maybe 2 years ago. But in some way, shape, or form, I was always close to the arts, be it, you know, curating exhibitions in vacant shophouses in Geumma. And I'd do that moonlighting when I was working at Goldman also. So you kind of pursue some degree of your passion. And even before Goldman, I was already interning for, say, Christie's in New York. That experience didn't work out. I broke a Ming Dynasty teacup as an unpaid intern. It was worth $45,000. It was later sold for $15,000. So $30,000 in damage. $30,000 more than my salary at the time. But yeah, I think it's always kind of having that at the back of my mind, but not yet feeling ready to do it. After Goldman, there was a 3-year gap in between Goldman and Figment, where I went back to school. I got myself a policy degree at the Harvard Kennedy School. I got myself an MBA at UPenn's Wharton School in real estate. And so that together allows me to learn more about what it is I'm doing today. So while it does seem as a 2-year stint since we started, I think the knowledge in there has been a long time in the making, and I could even draw a line all the way back to when I grew up in a shophouse in Kampung Bahru. Had a lot of Kampung spirit, right? And so Kampung spirit, community spirit in Singlish, it's something that really made sense to me back then, and something I want to bring back today as well. And so a lot of things. Seizing that moment, the opportunity after graduation, I think it was a natural break for me to start the business. I think it's not really down to me to get it to work, because I already alluded to the audience that we have feeling lonely, right? But also the partners that we have, you guys, Weekend Worker, Roger and Sons. I think these people also feel the need to have their work represented or be platformed in a certain way. And Figment is so much bigger than me. It's there are all these parts. There's a team that works hard every day, giving out top class service in a very personalized manner also. And so all these things kind of come together. The purpose and the vision is what draws it together also. And so can I kind of visualize and then communicate a certain way of looking at the future? To then get people convinced to come along for the ride, right? I think that's mostly it.
I think what is also interesting, I mean, yes, you definitely have that singular vision and how you are going to create this Figment, right? Which is not an imagination, it's already a reality at this point. But also, we are also very amazed and impressed by your openness, you're willing to listen, to collaborate, to ideas, listen to ideas, open to ideas, and meeting people. And I feel like this is one of the key traits that you've probably brought you to where you are today, I feel. And yeah, so for me, my question is, how do you suss out the right people to come on to your team and
for the ride,
you know? I mean, you need a team, right? Obviously, you can't do it by yourself, just like us. How do you find these people? How do you know they are the right people, you know? I don't know, what is that magic, like,
potion,
whatever you call it?
Great word, magic.
Recipe, yeah.
Two drops, at least, and three drops.
Yeah.
It's just a recipe to follow, right? I wish it were that simple. surprisingly, because we are entering, like, the market niche for Figment is really, really small. It's very well defined. We're talking about heritage, arts, culture aficionados who appreciate the type of product that we put out there, boutique shop houses, say, right? I think it attracts a lot of people who aren't just satisfied with the condos or good class bungalows that are out there today. And shop houses really offer a different way of living. And so it's really inspiring people in the sense, okay, hey, maybe you might have studied history in school. And yes, you could go for one of our local government bodies, National Heritage Board, or the archives, but you have that critical mindset. We want you at Figment, and not just history, you might say political science, you might say statistics. These are all very different ways of learning or of studies that we're able to put together, and I'm able to then glean from these individuals in what way are they prepared for the work at Figment. And it's a lot easier because at Figment we are making things up as we go along, right? It's a new innovative type of company, to the extent that I don't think people around the world are looking at every country's own architectural vernacular in the way that we are. And so our employees feel like they're doing something that matters, which might not always be the case in a Singapore company. And so even just doing that alone, you tend to stand out relative to a lot of other companies. And you then tend to attract attention, good or bad. Hopefully, you know, what we're doing pays homage to like Singaporean culture and Singaporean heritage. It's our own take on the matter. But I think it grows into something bigger, right? And so it's always looking at how, oh, what's fresh about what Figment is doing today? Like, what do you guys think was fresh about Figment when I came in my t-shirt and shorts to tell you, oh, you know, I have this idea about the turning shop houses into this business? You know, what were your thoughts then?
What's yours?
Well, for me, it was exactly what you shared earlier, right? You were able to paint a picture. And that picture is so vivid, it's so clear, it's pointed, and it's colorful, and it's exciting. And then you leave a portion that's not painted. And that was how I understood it when I first met you. Like, come along for the ride, let's paint this other portion together. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is one of the magic potions that you had. And I don't know whether you agree, but that was my take. Mm-hmm. You're able to articulate a vision. And not many people can actually do that very well, and you can. So, which also leads me to my other question to you is, we have the privilege of coming into contact with some of the people who's part of the Figment family and the Figment team. Mm-hmm. There's something about them, they are generally quite articulate, they are quite thoughtful and hospitable, quite smart. What is your favorite one or two interview question that you always ask people who want to join Figment, and why?
First of all, thanks for seeing that on my team. I'll get them to watch this and have them feel good about themselves. I think for me, it's a few questions, three different questions actually. Asking them about their previous experiences, okay, be it work or school, but then zeroing in on the best part about those experiences and the worst part about those experiences. And to me, it's not so much in the content of their response when they, you know, answer the question, but it's in the structure of that content. It's how they make meaning of these questions, how they deal with conflict or responsibility, that usually are the high or low points of your experience, that allows me to understand how mature or how developed they are as individuals. And so I think that's so key, because we always talk about critical thinking today. And maybe I was a late bloomer, but I only started to think critically later on in my life, somewhere, you know, in the last 5 years, say. But thankfully on our team, you have younger, yet very critical thinkers. And so it could be because, you know, you've been through challenging times in your life, mm-hmm. like I said, low points. It could be because the material in school made you ask questions, critically studying religious texts, okay, or the history and various histories out there, right? And so many things get them to develop in a certain way. And I can only try and gauge through a short 20-30 minute interview to the best of my ability to see how far along that line are they. And I don't think it's an age thing, because many of them are younger. Mm. I think it's more like just your state of mind and how you've challenged yourself over time that results in this, the takeaway, the reflectiveness, the self-awareness that you get, you know, after going through these experiences.
Wow. I think that's quite cool.
Yeah.
Can you pull out one example? Because I'm quite curious to, without revealing who it is, obviously, like through this amazing story that he or she has shared, then it really left an impression on you what potentially could be his or her takeaway.
Right. And so I think a specific case would be kind of like a difficult situation for one of our colleagues who came from a theater background. And so she was looking to do theater in Singapore, actually. And very early on in the interview, I let her know that, it wasn't convincing enough when she told me that she wanted to do marketing for Figment.
Mm.
But then again, you know, telling her that up front and seeing how she dealt with that, and how she dealt with the challenges of going through recruiting or finding gigs in acting. And it's hard in Singapore, there's no real market for that. But she doesn't give up. And it might not have been entirely relevant to what the job role was at the point in time, but it reveals a certain presence of mind and maturity. And to me, I respect that. You have your own likes, dislikes as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You can be very authentic in that regard and just communicate that outright. And so I think being direct with her and her later on being more direct with me allowed for me to actually understand where she was coming from. That hopefully, you know, had a good result, because now she's very much a part of our team. We still encourage her to go out and do acting on the side. I think we like these unorthodox backgrounds with Figment. And so it's more these various unorthodox backgrounds that come together and make the vibrancy that is like what we have every day.
But basically the question I'm asking is, how do you run the week and how do you run the month?
Right. I think it depends a lot on your type of institution that you're working for. Like Goldman, sure, you know, you have your roles, you're doing a part of a bigger machine. And you know that part really well, and you do it over and over again every day. A Figment, because like I said, we're making stuff up as we go along, in a good way, not nonsense. But yeah, you know, it gets you thinking, basically, about how you can lead an unbounded company, or underbounded company. Right, and so you allow for ideas, for innovation. I just recently kind of had one of my colleagues come up and say, he would like to look at things from an impact perspective. Mm-hmm. And so now we're looking at the societal impact that Figment has on each neighborhood, right? And so having that kind of innovation arises only because you've allowed for the company to be underbounded. So I'm not so strict in how we do things, not so structured in how we do things as it should be. The people that come on board also have to appreciate that as part of what we do. Not everyone thrives in an underbounded environment. Sometimes you need an overbounded kind of accounting style, CFO style team. But at least for what Figment is trying to do, and always thinking back to why you're doing what we're doing, which is to create these wonderful spaces, we also want to have the inspiration from everyone in the team and not just me top down, you know, it's not working that way. And so the better we have that hierarchy, I think the more productive outcomes we get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think I also am quite inspired the way that FP does things. I think you guys also have different teams working on different projects, and you have these creative teams that are stacked, one person from each role. right? Actually, how would you think you can retain this very, very small, you know, boutique feel and yet expand your company at the same time?
Well, this is always could be challenging as well. I mean, yes, we do sort of structure and plan the team according to the projects, and like you say, we stack different roles for them so that it's very clear how things can be run. Designers could probably focus on design, and those who are scheduling for like timelines and budget could focus on that, you know, if that's the strength. But there are also cases where on smaller projects, the designer has to do both the managing as well as the design. So it really depends, but I think we are also flexible and adaptable because that's how it is for a small company like us. And you need to be innovative as well. So we always encourage our designers to be always on, be always learning. You know, it's always a learning
curiosity,
you know, learning about new skills and how to do things better, you know, not just design, but like, I guess, organizational wise. Because it's not just about design also, it's also like how do you talk to the client, how do you manage the client, how do you manage the project, how do you make sure that you're making the best use of the resources you have such as you can still create the best out of the limitation you have for whatever project that you're running. I think these are skills that not something that you can have right coming right from the school. So we also hope that these opportunity help them to understand better, you know, have a better, I guess, become a better designer, because it's not just about sitting behind the computer and like tapping on the Illustrator or Photoshop. So yes, like structuring the team that way gave them the exposure as well.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what we felt as Figment working with Foreign Policy. I think the team was Chelsea and Dandy and Shermaine. And a few others, and what we felt was, yes, these are, I guess, younger teammates, but still they took the lead because, you know, you gave them space to do that.
Yep.
And I could see you letting them step up. You weren't always there, you know, micromanaging them, and I think that's not easy to do if you're running a bigger company, but at the same time, you know, you want to see the talents that you brought on also challenge themselves.
Yes, yes, yeah. I think stepping up is important. We don't want to, like you said, micromanaging. We want to make sure that it's on the right track, but then you also want to leave space for them to blossom, right? So they might fall a little bit, but it's fine. You can pick them up.
Yeah, yeah. Space, and you're always there also,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it's okay. And yeah, you become someone who they rely on for advice and feedback.
Yeah.
And they also grow in their own style.
Yeah.
Great.
Because we still do huddles, they still check in with me, but most of the time I let them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so does Arthur then take a more structured role, and Yaling, you're doing a more unstructured role?
I guess if you want to define it that way, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very accessible.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very accessible.
Yeah, yeah. I guess my job is to service my team. Yeah, like how
that's
can
a very
I...
kind way of putting it. Yeah.
Like
let me ask a teammate.
How can I help you?
Your service today.
Yeah. How can I help you such that you can, you know, move on better? You know,
great.
Progress better. Yeah.
Great. I wanted to learn from you also. Obviously, we're very impressed with how Figment has grown. Would you be open to sharing, say, a couple of oh my god moments?
Oh my god, like great moments? Oh my god, like bad moments?
Either way.
More than a couple. We started and we had the brand launched, I think, in February or January of 2019. Right. And Figment was up until then. 4 to 6 homes, shop houses, which are our Singaporean heritage homes. And so taking the risk on the first heritage home that we did, it was my childhood home, right? I had grown up in it, all my memories were there in this beautiful neighborhood full of conservation houses. And we were bringing in Ministry of Design, Colin Siang and team, to get it done up, renovating. And he came up with something so stark, something so radical, painting the whole house white. Even the facades were painted white. And that, to me, took a little bit of getting used to. I really enjoy it now. It's one of my favorite homes. Because it basically looks like an art gallery. People don't know this, but shop house, the typology is very long. You have walls on the side that are great for hanging art, right? And so for us, but for us, myself and my parents, to say okay to like this all white design, you know, we knew it's going to be hard to maintain, but we knew we also had to take a risk and start with this kind of reset button, the white reset button, a blank canvas. We have called it, we now call it Canvas House. Blank canvas on which to imagine the future, right? A dream of a better future, telling what Figment stands for. And so now looking back, it's full, sure, the house is doing well. And we're very, very proud to look at that one house and the risk that we took to get it rented out, right?
Yeah.
And so that to me was really cool. What the press doesn't normally get these days is right after that happened, we did three houses like this. Another one, Xinsha, called Shan House, and another one was still with Studio Juju called Still House. COVID hit in March when we had expanded from, I think, 8 to 14, 15 houses, basically doubling in capacity, but going through a lockdown for 3 months after that. And so it was a huge challenge to just be like, oh, we have these beautiful houses, but they're not full yet. What can we do about this? You know, it's a lot of wringing your wrists and just kind of waiting for a better day. I can say today, more than a year after, that yeah, we're doing very well. We are close to maximum capacity, 97-98% occupancy. People really like their product. But it was a lot of, it's a big test of faith. It was like, oh my God, are we going to make it by, and are we going to fill this up over time? Because we had a product that I believed a lot in, but it still wasn't apparent to me that, oh, we could get them filled. And people would come along for the ride, believe in what we were trying to create.
So between when the projects were completed to the occupancy, which means 97-98%, how did you keep your faith?
It was very tough. I think not giving up is key. And as an entrepreneur, yes, you have to believe in yourself and what you're doing. It just might not happen at the time you want it to happen. And so it's okay on a shorter term, because in my mind I kind of believed in the outcome and how we would get there eventually. Sure, it took overcoming COVID and circuit breaker, which is a lockdown here in Singapore, over and over again. But we got there, right? And so, in retrospect, we did a lot of things in between. We're figuring out growing in all sorts of ways. We had tried out giving away staycations during this period. That ended up pretty well and kind of going viral, but we'd also try other ways of marketing ourselves that didn't really end up well. We sent around postcards to people that turned out to be too expensive with not a very good response rate. I think people would just look at it and not really read the finer text behind. It would look good, but the text size probably was too small. And so different ways of getting out there and pushing the agenda. And surely, all the ways that are out there available to us, we will hit on the right thing. And the rest of it is just keeping that faith, like you said, and waiting for things to happen. Okay, but to get that luck to happen, you also have to make that luck. And so the entrepreneurial side of me, sure, I can be telling a positive story. I can be freaking out inside. But to manage my own anxiety, I can be trying different things over time to give us the best odds of succeeding. And so everything I'm grateful for today, thriving through COVID, and let's hope it continues 2, 3, 4 more years.
Yeah, it's kind of rare to start something and bam, lands up with one of the biggest challenges, in this case would be COVID. So
yeah.
So hats off, you survived the first big test.
If we can survive COVID, maybe everything else is fine now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, easy.
Volcano
enough.
Strikes.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Godzilla attack.
Okay, so I wanted to also share with the audience that Fang has actually been one of the best client project collaborators all time. He being so open-minded and willing to, you know, listen to the designers and the design team, has, I think, led to, I guess, one of the most enjoyable projects that we've ever worked on as well. And I think from that experience, we, like I just said before, you are very, a person who really listens and is open. So I think what I'm curious about is, what are your plans for moving forward, you know, because you are such a person who appreciates design, arts, and the community, you know. I really see this as very a different approach from the traditional real estate property people, how they play the game. And
yeah.
You have actually taken that with that slant, and I felt like this is a very rich sort of way to engage with the people, the community that you're trying to build.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Basically, spelling out a vision for people to believe in, to want to come along with.
Mm.
Right. And so thanks for saying that we were good clients, but you both and your team, you were the best designers, and I was honored to be able to work with you as a startup or a small company. And for you guys to also have taken that risk on us in the beginning speaks a lot to what you believe in, right? But back to your question about what we are currently working towards. I think Figment has found a very important niche in placemaking. Yes, we want to help create communities that start from home. These homes could be the boutique shop houses that we're currently in. But what really gets us going is the idea of what kind of communities we can get to, okay, across multiple of these shop houses within a certain district or neighborhood, right? And so we talk a lot about 15 minutes, the 15-minute kampong, I call it. Kampong, once again, being a word for community, for village here in Singapore. And so 15-minute neighborhoods are a thing across the world today. You wake up in the morning, 15 minutes, biking or walking distance. You can live, work, and play all around you. It could mean a bakery, first thing in the morning where you get your baguettes from someone you know, a co-working space 2 blocks in the other direction that you work with people from that same neighborhood, and you end up maybe behind where you live in a yoga studio or a gym, right? All that walkable, in walkable, vibrant neighborhoods all around you.
Mm.
And to me, I think that's something that Singapore lacks, and most metropolises around the world, Tokyo, Seoul, Beijing, Shanghai, they lack, because you've gone high density, high rise, right? You don't really have that person-to-person feel, getting in touch with people day in, day out, because you're retreated to the comfort of this like anonymous high rise, right? You can get Deliveroo food delivered to you. You can get Netflix in your room. You don't really need to go out for entertainment anymore. All your facilities are within this compound that you live in. So why would you need to use your neighborhood? But that neighborhood is so crucial to us in Figment. We want people to step out into Singapore, right? And so what does it mean to have Figment also managing buildings, mixed-use shop houses with, say, a restaurant downstairs, or a gym, or a bar, and having co-living beyond the higher floors, and have that spread out within a neighborhood that then builds up its own identity, right? Much like in New York, you have Soho, Tribeca, Williamsburg, Dumbo. In Singapore, yes, we are starting to have some of these neighborhoods, character is not so strong yet because most of our neighborhoods have been built top down rather than bottoms up. And I'm thinking maybe Figment has that, you know, role to play. Yes, as a developer of sorts, as an operator of these houses, but really bringing together the community and space to kind of reimagine this, and this is what we say a lot, reimagine spaces as places for communities to thrive. Right? So does it sound like something you guys can believe in and get involved
in? Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, with the high rise, people are just not as interactive. Like, you know, our grandmother times, they know everybody in the neighborhood, but at this point of time, some people don't even know their neighbors next door. So they don't even talk.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad, you know. Everything is like you say, Deliveroo, Netflix, Zoom meetings. It's already very isolated, like you mentioned before.
And guess what? The world is going towards this. Mini studios, Matchbox studios, that have your own privacy, growing smaller and smaller all the time, some place for you to retreat to. And sure, human beings are weird. We don't like to hang out with other human beings, but at the same time, other human beings give us joy. And so how do you square the two? Like what is the best way to do that? And maybe it's not co-living in 150-person apartment, adult dorm style.
Mm.
Maybe it's not flat sharing with two other people. But maybe it's living in a heritage home with a sense of place, where you have that connection to place, but yet also have four or five other people in there. You might not connect with all of them, that's fine, but maybe just one or two out of the four or five, you get a connection with them and that's all you need, right? And so you still have that space to come back to, but yet you want to be able to get in touch with other people for whatever reason on a daily basis, just so you get that sense of connection with others.
Yeah, I guess what's really interesting about what you're sharing is it's just not connecting within the people that stay within the same Figment house, and you have a choice, right? Do I want to connect or do I not want to connect? But I think the beauty of it is connecting this resident to the local community, right? So it becomes this sort of like a mesh. I think there's a few good comparables in Tokyo. So once you leave the steel and glass neighborhoods, right? You start to get into this beautiful neighborhood, beautiful pathway where you can ride bicycle without the risk of being run over. Yeah. And it's easy to the retail stores and the cafes are all very beautifully manicured, and the trees overhang, it's beautiful shadow, beautiful breeze. It's just a very lovely stroll or bike, right?
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes, you are at your favorite cafe, joint with the coffee, right?
And your barista knows exactly what you want to order. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
know,
he's your friend.
Your
favorite
corner.
Your
gym trainer.
Yeah.
These are people that at least familiar faces that you have within these neighborhoods that you call it. And Japan, don't get me wrong, has Kyoto with their own architectural vernacular, machiya, your wooden homes. And people are reimagining them. Adaptive reuses, galleries, coffee shops, bars, hostels, motels, all sorts. And it's just kind of vibrant living that is washing over the place. And like I said, I think people need this.
Mm.
You know, we have technology, we have Instagram as a replacement for social interaction these days. I can like a post instead of talking to you face to face.
Okay, WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp. Exactly. And is that how we want to be all the time? Is that a just as good replacement for what we have? Is Zoom a better replacement for in-person meetings?
Mm.
I think each time you abstract something, you remove certain elements of it, and sure, it makes things easier, but you lose the soul of what it is. And in much the same way, the properties that we have today, these heritage properties in Singapore, would not be built from scratch today because they are seen as too wasteful. And you always want to have profit maximized, floor area maximized, high rises built once again with materials easy to find, glass and steel, instead of doing something with a flowery Corinthian pillar,
reclaimed wood from
reclaimed wood, jalousie windows. Like these things
don't
figure anymore. Mm. It's not the way of doing things anymore.
Why
do
we pick this?
Right.
Yeah.
And you picked another neighborhood, Tiong Bahru, before this that,
yes.
that set the trend for huge amounts of revitalization for that neighborhood. And so I think you do call it right when that happens.
I guess.
After you guys moved here, you now have tons of these cafes and bars and craft beer breweries
around
and
here.
Even barbecue places sprouting up, and it's not something that was always on the cards. And so yeah, you know, it's dynamic that way, and you really add, I have to say, FP yourselves and the other design offices that are co-located with you have also brought a degree of vibrancy to this neighborhood. And for me, someone who's lived in this neighborhood for a while, I was very, very happy to see that, you know, you've also chosen the same neighborhood to use as your office, your workplace,
right.
You know. And back to Arthur's point, you know, you talk about different ways of life side by side in Singapore. I think that's our specific brand of living. I think we have that diversity, multitude of religions, of views, of lifestyles.
Mm.
And we can celebrate that within our neighborhoods. We can make it more accessible for different people. And so ultimately, yeah, you know, it's understanding that character.
Mm.
Could you bottle you know, the character or your observations that day and call it something? And you know, like, to me, that is it. We're trying to create experiences, memorable experiences for people who come to travel to Singapore, or even Singaporeans who want to experiment with a different way of living.
Mm.
And we are trying to label, or rather to describe these diversity of views.
Yeah, I guess the layering makes it soulful, right? And rich, and nobody should be judging anybody. Everybody has their own right to live however they want to live. We can share the same 5-foot way, but we each go about doing our own thing, and whoever stays in the Figment boutique home,
yeah.
And sort of like, you know, you can join the journey a little bit, and then you pop back into your own sort of like route, and then you pop into another one, join the journey a little bit, and pop back into your route. I think that's the beauty of living in a Figment curated sort of boutique home.
Right.
I think you are adding a lot of richness to what culture is all about, right? Because
right.
The alternative is to go with a brand name hospitality offering. And those are also very viable in terms of options, just very different.
In terms of experience, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The takeaway is completely different. There are times whereby you just want to be efficient, you want to be in and out, but if you want to spend a bit more time, which is the Figment Boutique Home, which is a longer stay sort of option, where you sort of get into the community, I think that is where Figment sort of becomes this very strong proposition, and is very valuable.
Yeah. I think the world is moving towards experiential travel. I think you see a lot of boutique hotels in every single country, and boutique homes aren't far away. Shop houses that we use today have also been used for boutique hotels. And so what is the experience in Singapore that you can't get anywhere else, in Hong Kong, in Australia, for example? And I think it's figuring that out. As a local, we have more insight, and sharing that with people that might not have the luxury of time to figure it out for themselves.
Mm.
Then say that, okay, this to me seems authentically Singaporean. Why don't you experience it for yourself and see if it's different than living in a condo in, say, New York or London, right? And it might not be the most convenient approach, because you need to go and understand the local fabric for you to appreciate the product. But I still think it's well within every one of us in this increasingly globalized world, as well within what we can do to at least give ourselves more of a connection to place, right? So you don't wake up tomorrow in a beige box kind of franchise color scheme,
yeah.
Service apartment or hotel, and that you frankly can't call it. You could be in any major city in the world and it would look pretty much the same way. But with Figment, you don't get no two studios look alike. We call them special snowflakes, right? And so you get very different experiences in each of our rooms. And we even have members that choose to move from studio to studio on a 3-month basis, and we let them experience that. Different neighborhoods, great, different houses, different designs, different ways of making your sense of your experience. And we totally encourage them.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like you have actually just doing a huge role in sort of retelling the story of Singapore and through your shophouses, mm-hmm. and sort of extending the legacy of such beautiful architecture that is in existence in Singapore and was nearly torn down by, you know, I guess, urbanization. So I think it's a huge role, and I think you're doing it really well right now. Yeah.
And so we all appreciate that because we are locals in some way, shape or form, and we don't have to live in these buildings. For us, it feels a sense of pride, of belonging. And so when we come back, and you know, the shop house I live in every day, I come back home and I see the Corinthian pillars, which are European in origin. I see the Peranakan tiles, right, that were manufactured in Japan. I see the Chinese Tianyan frescoes.
Oh, okay.
And it's all, you know, in combination what Singapore is, a mishmash of different cultures. And it's an uplifting reminder of that, right, at the end of every day. And wouldn't it be wonderful? You don't have to be Singaporean to appreciate this. You can be anyone from anywhere, but you stay rooted to the place that you go to. It's more and more, you know, we have so many options. And it's hard to decide where to live, what to do. Mm. So Figment hopefully edges people in a more informed direction. Mm. And I think there's a lot more education that we can be doing in terms of our heritage, where shophouses come from, why were they even built in the beginning. And so for the audience who wants to know about shophouses, feel free to, you know, come by and browse our selection of shophouses on the website.
It's so exciting to see how you have taken Figment from its inception in 2019. We're very excited to see what's going to come in the next 2 years. We're so happy that you're here to share this with us, and thank you so much for
so much for being so open about sharing your journey and as well as what's to come.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for the invite, and thanks for listening.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.